Good morning. I want you to listen, okay? I want you to listen very, very carefully. And I want you to understand how important this is. Randy and I did not coordinate anything. I didn't know they were going to sing that song. I didn't know he was going to share what he was going to share. But I want you to turn to Jeremiah 18. Okay? I promise you, we did not talk about this. We didn't discuss this. We're going to read it, and then I'm going to give you homework. All right? And then I want you to come back next week with your homework and share with the body. And then next week, I'll share with you what the Lord showed me out of this. All right? Because apparently it's pretty significant. Don't take it lightly. Don't think, well, I know that chapter, I know that verse, I know what that means. Because I've seen a lot of things in here in the last week that I didn't recognize before. Okay? So I want us to read it. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, let me qualify this and paraphrase this. As I was standing watching the potter do what he was doing with the wheel. See, the first part, the word which came to Jeremiah, was before he went to the potter. Part of it was instructions to go to the potter. Then when he got to the potter, the Lord showed him something. And then the Lord said to him, while he's standing there in the presence of the potter, watching what was going on, the Lord said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does? Can't I deal with you the way this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or destroy it. If that nation which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring on it. If that nation which I have spoken can turn from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring on it. Or at another moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up or to plan it. If it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better of the good with which I had promised to bless it. See those conditions that are there? So now then, speak to the men of Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning calamity against you and devising a plan against you. Oh, turn back, each of you, from his evil way, and reform your ways and your deeds. But they will say, it is hopeless, for we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Okay? Now, Jeremiah seemed to be minding his own business. just going about his daily deal. It doesn't say what he was doing, but it doesn't say he was doing anything significant. And right in the middle of whatever it was he was doing, the Lord said, I want you to stop what you're doing, and I want you to make a concerted effort to go down to the potter's house, and I want you to watch. And as you watch, I want to show you something. And then what I show you is going to be relevant to you, and it's going to be relevant to the nation. God had something he wanted to tell him. God had something he wanted to show him. He wanted to reveal to him. Why couldn't he just do it while he was going about his business? Well, I guess he could have. But here's the thing that I noticed. We've been talking for the last couple of weeks about the distinction between the understanding and the information that we have of God in our head and how it differs many times from the understanding that we have of God in our heart. We know a lot of the right stuff in our head, but many times the choices and the decisions we make indicate that we're believing something erroneous about what God is like. And here God gave Jeremiah a very practical picture, a very simple, clear picture. Jeremiah, I want to show you something, and I want to tell you something. And I want you to see the analogy, the picture of what it's like. Because what I say to you, I want it to move just from your head to your heart. I want you to grasp what I'm saying to you and about Israel. Nothing in Scripture that I know of is a better picture of what God is like in dealing with us. We say, I believe God has everything under control. But fear, anxiety, stress, depression, hopelessness become such a part of our existence. And God says, I want you to see what I'm really like. I want you to know what I'm really like in your heart, not just in your head. And he gave him an awesome picture of revealing to him, God has got this. Now, we use this word, God's sovereignty. And I'm going to be just as honest as I can with you. I have no idea what that looks like. I don't know everything that God is in control of. Honestly, I don't. I see things happen all the time that look to me like God didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't cause it. He didn't make it happen. And so to say that God is in control and he causes everything to happen, I can't buy that. For one reason, God gave man a will. He gave him a choice. He said, now choose. Now here's the thing about it. It doesn't matter what man does. If it's yielded to the Father, he can make it into something glorious. And in that sense, he is the potter, we are the clay. There's a picture that a friend of mine used to tell me about. They were over in Turkey, I believe, and they had these apprentices that were making quilts, blankets, or rugs. And when we were in Turkey, we saw some rugs that these guys had made. And they make them by hand, and they have these huge looms that they sit there and weave them on. And there's just one after another, and they're just, I mean, how they do that is just amazing. It's just phenomenal, the skill that's involved in that. And they'll be working along there, and they'll have a pattern in mind, and they'll be weaving that pattern, and how it ever ends up into that pattern, I have no idea, because I can't see what it's going to be. All I can see is what it is. And so they'll be sitting there working at their loom, doing everything they do, and all of a sudden, one of them might stop. And he just sits there and he looks at this thing. And he raises his hand. And the master, who's in charge of all these apprentices, walks over there and he stands behind him. And he looks at it. And he sees that somewhere in that pattern, he made a mistake. Used the wrong thread. Used the wrong material. Used the wrong color. But to the untrained eye, hey, we buy stuff at Walmart. I mean, you know, what difference does it make? But to the trained eye, he saw the flaw. And for a minute or two, he didn't scold the guy. He didn't chew him out. He just stood there behind him looking for what seemed like forever. And finally, he tapped the guy on the shoulder, and he got up. And the master sat down. And he took control of the things that the apprentice had been working with. And he began to do his thing. And when he got through, he took that mistake and he weaved it into this beautiful pattern. And there was no way you would ever know a mistake was there. What was the difference? The master took control. And he took that mar, he took that mistake, and weaved it into something that was absolutely beautiful. That, to me, pictures God's sovereignty. You want to make a mistake? You're probably gonna. Is it irreparable? I don't think so. In the hands of the master, it can become something awesome. So Jeremiah was here. We have no indication that Jeremiah had any potting experience. We had no indication that he had anything to do with this. He does mention the pot over earlier, and Isaiah even mentions it. We're going to talk about that next time. But God spoke to Jeremiah, and he says, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. I have something to show you, and I have something to tell you. Now, when you read this week, when you meditate on this week, I want to challenge you to ask the Father, what do you want to show me? What do you want to tell me out of this picture that you've painted here? All right? And just be still and listen. Let him show you. Don't assume that you know what it means or what it says there. Ask the Father, what does that mean and how is that relevant to me? You got something you want to show me? Show me. You got something you want to tell me? I want you to tell me that's relevant to me and my life. Okay? Any questions over the homework? All right? Jeremiah 18.